183 years or 69 weeks. I hope I am understood. How many weeks remaining now for the 409, for the 70 weeks to be completed? Eh? Now, remaining? No, not 7 weeks. 1 week remaining. 69 weeks have been fulfilled. That's what I want you to, emphasize. How many weeks remaining to be complete? How many weeks? 1 week remaining. Either 1 week or 7 years. Because 1 week is 7 years. I repeat. How many weeks was determined for them? 70 weeks. And by the time it is 69 week, the 69th week, as it is ending, that is the period the Messiah will be cut off. Therefore, out of the 70 weeks, 69 weeks have been taken care of. It's been fulfilled. But what happened is, it is remaining 1 week. Remaining 1 week. From that AD 70, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When they rejected, from AD 33 rather, when they rejected him, they crucified him, they rejected him. Hallelujah. Few years later, because they rejected him, the remaining last 1 week or 7 years, he left it hanging, and then the gospel moved to the Gentiles. Amen. So, between the 69th week and the 70th week, that is where we now come in. He suspended that last 1 week so that he can now come to the Gentiles to get a bride for himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. After he has concluded with us getting the bride for himself, then he will now go back to Israel to complete the last 7 years according to his program. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to write down some scriptures? Amen. Write Luke chapter 13. That is the gospel coming to the Gentiles. The gospel now coming to the Gentiles. Amen. And I want you to catch something, church. If you understand this little teaching, you will catch it that any Gentile that says God told him to go and hold revival in Israel, he's wasting his time. You're wasting your time. Their eyes have been blinded. Do you know when their eyes were blinded? It's in Isaiah chapter 6. When he said, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go." I'm blinding them. Eyes they see, they will not understand. Ears they have, they will hear. They will hear, but they will not perceive. Why? So that God's determinate purpose will come to pass. And references were made by Christ, references were made by Apostle Paul, severally to that prophecy of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have to catch it, church. The privilege that we have as Gentiles. God had nothing to do with Gentiles. Do you remember that Jesus Christ met a Syrophoenician woman whose child was sick? And you know what he told that woman? He said, "It is not proper to give the children's meat to dogs, because every Jew looks at a Gentile as a dog. They claim to be so special." But when salvation process coming, Apostle Paul will tell you there's neither Jew, hallelujah, no Gentile, no bond, no free. We are all one now in Christ. But let's get to how it came to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 13 from verse 6 to 9, that parable there about that fig tree being cut down. It was Israel being cut down. And then Apostle Paul called it the mystery that was hidden from the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 1 to 9, let me just give you the scriptures, please, on your own. Take time and read them. John chapter 10, verse 16, where he said, "Other sheep have I beside these." Isaiah 56, verse 8. I have earlier said John 10, 16. I hope you got that one. Then Isaiah 56, verse 8. Now, Isaiah 65, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 and verse 19, just for emphasis. Romans chapter 16, I put down as many scriptures as possible because that concerns you and I. Romans 16 verse 25 and verse 26, where Apostle Paul said, "Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And then Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Read it up to verse 52. Where Apostle Paul says, "Seeing you count yourself unworthy," he said, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 29. The gospel moved from Israel since they rejected him. It moved to the Gentiles. That is why you and I today are worshiping the God of Israel. Because they rejected him. And the 69th week was the consummation of the rejection. They killed him. They rejected him. John chapter 1 says, "He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, we are those many." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And several other parables in Matthew 22. If the parable of the wedding, the wedding feast, where they rejected. They rejected his overtures, and then because they rejected him, those that the wedding was arranged for, they were invited to come, they refused to come. Then he told his servants, "Go to the byways and the highways." And they went and they gathered both good and bad. We are the good and bad. Now some of you that we are very good, now I know they do all this bad thing way some of us do. But some of us, terribly bad, all of us, he gathered all of us for that wedding feast. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the gospel moving to the Gentiles is started in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius as directed by the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came down. Cornelius and his household began to speak in tongues. And Peter was surprised. Because remember, when the vision was being given to Peter at Joppa, and he was there, and unclean animals were being shown him in that vision, and a voice said, "Peter, hiya, kill and eat." He said, "Ha, Lord, I have never, a Jew cannot eat an unclean animal." And the voice told him, "What he, God, has cleansed, you call it not unclean. He, God, has sanctified it. Don't call it unclean." And he was referring to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Every Tuesday, I will call Evangelist Ike I said, Evangelist Ike, I said, how many did you kill today? Amen. How many did you kill? That is, how many received Christ today? How many were buried in the blood of Jesus Christ and water baptism? He said, kill and eat. He was referring to the Gentiles. Then he was given a revelation that somebody is coming. Go there and then preach the gospel to him. And when he got there, as they were speaking in tongues, Peter now told them, turned and looked at other Jews around them. He said, these people have received what we have received. What stops us then from baptizing them? The same Holy Ghost that came upon the Jews on the day of Pentecost now came on the Gentiles. So the same spirit we received, they have received. That was where the gate was. But remember, Peter was given to the keys to the kingdom. That is, he went for him to open the gate, the key, the door for the Gentiles to enter into the kingdom. Peter went there and he opened the door. And he finished that assignment, he left. Apostle Paul came and continued. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I also want you to know there's something about the Bible that establishes facts, truths. That coming, the gospel coming to the Gentiles, we are spoken of in several other ways before, in types, letting us know what was ahead coming up. Types. It was type, for instance, hallelujah, in Genesis chapter 48, the story of Jacob wanting to bless the two children of Joseph. What are their names? Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh. And you have to know something, that Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. Everything about the story of Joseph is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a type. It was a pointer to what will happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Joseph was hated by his brothers. For what? For being spiritual. And because his father so loved him, he gave him a coat of many colors, a specially designed coat. They hated him because the father loved him. Jesus Christ was hated by the Jews because he said he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. They rejected Joseph and they sold him out. Jesus was sold out too for some pieces of silver. Praise the Lord. They rejected him among his brethren, but Joseph went, hallelujah, amen, to a Gentile nation, Egypt, and he was accepted there and was made a king, a prime minister. Until you cannot get to Pharaoh unless you pass through Joseph. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejected by his brethren, the Jews, but we have accepted him as our king. Is he not our Lord? The Gentiles. He came to us here. We received him. We are worshiping him today. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. A type of Joseph, a type of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But where I want to come in is that he got to that Gentile nation, Joseph, Egypt, and he got himself there a wife. And I want you to note, it was Pharaoh that gave him a wife. Every aspect of the story, I don't want to waste too much time in details. It's a very interesting thing. Those who are revelators, as you read, you will catch it. If you know the story of Jesus, as you read the story of Joseph, you will just see the similarities and see the types there. Amen. Because it was Pharaoh that gave Joseph a Gentile wife. And that wife had children. Praise the Lord. But the aspect that I want you to see is that there were two children that Joseph had, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob was to bless them. The senior one was supposed to come by the right hand because Jacob was now blind out of old age. And then he brought them, the senior one, he brought them to the right for the old man to bless them. The junior one, he brought them to the left because the right hand symbolized power. So that you will know which one is the old one and which one is the younger one. And then, when he was to place his hand to bless them, he crossed his hand to the junior one and the left hand to the senior one and began to bless the junior one. And Joseph was saying, Papa, why are you doing this? He said, you should leave it like that. Hallelujah. Remember, he was a prophet. It was something that was going on. Hallelujah. Israel is the first child of God. The Jews, Israel. There is another child, the Gentiles. Amen. The Jews. What was God demonstrating there? That by the way of the cross, salvation, we jump from Israel to the Gentiles. Through the cross. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus Christ said, the first shall be the last. Hallelujah. The first shall be the last. And there's something you see from the story of Joseph again, as we'll see later on, that when it was time for Joseph to reveal himself to his brethren, famine has driven them now to Egypt. We all know the story. Hallelujah. Remember that by the time that Joseph was revealing his true identity to his brethren, where was his wife? His wife was at the back of the palace. A type of a fact that by the time that Jesus Christ will be revealing himself to the Jews during those last 1 week, that remaining 1 week, the bride will be in heaven while he is here dealing with the Jews to reveal himself that he is the one they have rejected. Zechariah said they will weep. They will ask him, where did you get those nails from? And he will tell them, from the house of my friends. They will notice that this person that they crucified, they rejected, was their Messiah. The Bible said they will weep, they will cry. That is when revival will start again in Israel. But while they are having their revival, in that last 1 week, that last 7 years, the bride is in the palace, upstairs, in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the gospel coming to the Gentiles. That is what we see in the story of Esther, Queen Esther. In the book of Esther, we have King Ahasuerus, who had a wife by the name of Queen Vashti. And the king made a feast and wanted to bring his queen to show forth. The queen made younger and refused to come. That is the story of redemption. Vashti, Queen Vashti, is a type of Israel, the Jews. King Ahasuerus, a type of the King of Kings that came. Lord God Almighty came to show forth the beautiful bride that he has been courting all these years on earth. And they made younger for him. And Ahasuerus was advised to put Vashti away. And so Vashti was put away as a queen, and then a proclamation was made to get a replacement. Amen. To get a replacement for Queen Vashti. And there was a slave girl by the name of Esther. Now the emphasis is that she was a slave girl. That is, she should be the last to think of ever being a queen. Because she's a slave. How can a slave come and be a queen? But something happened. She qualified, and we shall look at what made her to qualify. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, but she qualified. She qualified. And then she was made a queen instead of Vashti. Therefore, Esther is a type of the Gentile bride. Because Israel rejected him, Jesus, he got himself another queen. Amen. Therefore, we are Queen Esther. Can I see how many of us here are really part of that queen? God bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now quickly, just this few minutes, I can go this far. Those of you who didn't come, you make me to go back. Shall I move forward more than this? Now, between the 69th week and the 70th week, that is what we're looking at. There is a time frame for it. It's not going to be forever. How long will he stay with us before going back to Israel? How long is he going to stay with the Gentiles before going to Israel? If you know how long, then you'll be able to know what period the rapture should take place. Because the rapture has to take place before he turns to the Jews. So how long? We see a key in Hosea chapter 6. Can we open it? Hallelujah. In Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Hallelujah. Let me read it from verse 1. This is a prophecy. He said, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. When did he tear them to pieces? In AD 70. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When did he tear them? When did he smite them? It was in AD 70. When that general Titus came from Rome and scattered them. Then, in verse 2, he said, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Now, when will he revive us again? When? After 2 days, he will revive us. From there, we have a key. It means the gospel will stay with us for 2 days. Because after the 2 days, he's going back again to them to revive them. So, how long is the Gentile period, the grace period? The grace period will last for 2 days. 2 days. And what is it, 2 days? Because it's a prophetic language. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, one day before the Lord is how many years for us? 1,000 years. Our own 1,000 years before God is one day. So if God says 2 days, how many thousand years is he referring to? It means the gospel is going to stay with us, the Gentiles, for 2,000 years. After 2,000 years, the gospel will go back to the Jews. 2,000 years is the only period allocated to us. The same thing in Psalm 90 and verse 4. 1,000 years is like a day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The fullness of the Gentile is exactly at the expiration of the 2,000 years. Again, let's understand the 2 days as he spoke it here and here in the Bible. The 2 days period. Because the story of the Good Samaritan, we all know the story of the Good Samaritan. If you know the story of the Good Samaritan, let me see your hand. The Good Samaritan story is the story of redemption. Luke chapter 10, let's read it. It's Bible study. So let's read it. Luke chapter 10, from verse 29. Hallelujah. If you are there, from verse 29. But he, I have to rush this. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. That is the story of how man left the presence of God through disobedience in the Garden of Eden, and the enemy has buffeted us and rendered us in the condition that we are in now. Verse 31. Because John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. That is Satan for you. But he, Christ, came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. What is this telling us? The process of trying to help man, the law came forth. The law could not help man in his fallen estate. That is what is typed by the priest and the Levite. The law of ordinances, trying to make man to receive redemption, healing from all this nonsense the enemy is doing. It couldn't help. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan. Why a certain Samaritan? Samaritans are hated by the Jews. Samaritans, they can't even eat with the Jews. They have a long-standing conflict between themselves because of what happened in Samaria. So, and Jesus Christ is treated like a Samaritan. He's a type of a Samaritan, rejected. One that is looked at as a dog, just looked at as nothing. He says, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds. By his stripes we are healed. Pouring in oil, the Holy Ghost, and wine, revelation, and set him on his own beast, power of the Holy Ghost. We don't worship God by our own power, because we are helpless. It's by his own power. That's what the beast signifies. And brought him to an inn, the church. Hallelujah. The church handed him over to the fivefold ministry, the ministry for perfection, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and took care of him. And on the morrow, the next day, when he departed, he took out how many pence? Church, listen, how many pence? Are you tired? If you are with me, shout amen. Sisters, if you are with me, shout amen. Amen. Brothers, if you are with me, shout amen. Amen. Thank you. How many pennies did he bring out? 2 pence. And gave them to the host. And said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Those who are revelated, they are catching where this thing is going to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Quickly catch this. Quickly catch this. For those hearing us for the first time. Verse 1. Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. 1 day wage is how much? How much is he paying for a day? 1 penny. So it is established that a day's wage is 1 penny. So if he gave the innkeeper 2 pence, it means, how many days is he going to stay before he comes back? How many days is he going to walk? 2 days. So these children will be in the care of the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 for 2 days. Parable of the talents. Occupy till I come. And when he comes by, he said, if you spend more, are we not expecting reward when he comes? Every one of us that have given talents. But the emphasis is the 2 pence. 2 pence. Because that sick man was going to stay in that inn for 2 days before Christ will come. So he paid him in advance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But now, the emphasis here, so the emphasis here that you have to catch is that the Gentile grace age is going to last 2,000 years. It's going to last 2,000 years. And the 2,000 years begin to calculate it from 1870. When, you know, well, there are 2 schools. I like to always drop it like that. That some calculate it from AD 33 when Christ was cut off. But I think it is more scriptural to look at AD 70 because that is when they were smitten. That is when they were torn, according to Hosea chapter 6. So if you begin to count from AD 70 to the year AD 2009. Now, when you are calculating, please, you don't calculate it using the Roman calendar. You calculate it using the prophetic Jewish calendar, because the Jewish calendar, which is the prophetic calendar, is 30 days in a month. 360 days in a year, exactly. So, but if you use the Roman calendar, you will discover you are counting them by the days, by the week, by the months. You discover some months are 30, some months are 31, some months are 28. So, you have to calculate very well, convert the Roman calendar to the Jewish calendar, divide it by 30, and you would soon discover how short the time remains. I'm telling you, how short the time remains. Very, very short. Those who calculated in 1833, it ended in the year 2004. The 2000 years. About 2005. It ended in 2005. June 2005. But I always say something. That while you are calculating, always note that God told Abraham that his children will sojourn in a strange land for how many years? He said 400 years. He said after 400 years he will come by a mighty hand to deliver them. And they were in Egypt. And the Bible records that they were there for 430 years. So those other extra 30 years was the injury time. The time he was coming and doing so many things to prepare them to leave. That was the period, those last 30 years, that he allowed the Pharaoh that knew not Joseph to come and begin to torment them so that they can all be crying. Then he can go and make sure that within those 30 years, Moses has stopped looking at himself as an important man in Egypt because he was now hiding. Now he has seen himself nothing so that God alone can be glorified through him. It was all working out God's plan. So, if you take AD 33, you can see we're in borrowed time. But even if you take AD 70, the period is so short left for anybody to play with his life. That is what I want us to emphasize. This teaching is not to let you see whether I know Bible. It's not so. It's to let you know in the divine timetable concerning the rapture, it will soon strike. And that is why now he, God, begins now to quicken scriptures that are relevant to homegoing to the bride. When we begin to talk about the thunders, you see, when we begin to talk about other things, so many other things, begin to talk about the coming of the Elijah ministry, We begin to talk about the seven church ages and how we are now in the last church age. And all this is to let somebody wake up from just being a religious Christian to a revelated Christian. Because the evidence you are revelated is reflected in your attitude towards the things of God. Revelation determines how you approach God. That's the whole reason why we're taking the divine timetable. So the people who play church, they will talk less about their church and talk more about going home. That's all. And I say, you are not here by accident, church. I believe with the whole of my heart that God brought you here to hear something that will either be the reason for you to escape or be the reason for you to face the judgment very well. Because it's going to come. We will look at it as we continue this teaching. We will look at it where a time is going to come where there will be no more mercy seat. Christ in Revelation chapter 10 is going to stand up from the mercy seat with that book in his hand. And it's a book of life. And when he stands up, he's standing up from the mercy seat where he has been sitting for the past 2,000 years, interceding for the Gentile bride, for the last one to come in. When the last one comes in, he stands up. No more salvation for the Gentiles. He's standing up now to go to Israel. You see? Where will you be when he stands up? The bride is getting herself ready. While you are enjoying prosperity, because I believe in prosperity, you are enjoying divine health and deliverance, you are basking in the anointing that you are now a prophet, you are now a mighty evangelist. When demons see you, they run. Hey, that is very good. But I hope you are also ready for homegoing. You see? It's so important. That's why we sing that song. Nations are breaking, Israel's awaking, the sign that the prophet foretold, the Gentile is numbered with harrows and combat, eternity soon will unfold. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps dreamed and clear. Oh, look up, your redemption is near. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. With the Spirit, your lamp stream and clear. Oh, look up, your redemption is there. Another stanza go like this: false prophets are lying, God's truth they are denying, that Jesus, that Christ is our God. Though this generation spun God's revelation, we'll stand where the apostles have thrown. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your life streamed and clear. Oh, look up, your redemption is near. Now, I told somebody, when I made a statement, I said, without the Holy Ghost, you can never make the rapture. People don't understand the meaning of that statement. You see? Why I say so is because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will lead you to all truth. You see why I say that without the Holy Ghost you can never make the rapture. It will take the Holy Ghost for you to understand what I'm telling you now. It will take the Holy Ghost for you to understand the impact of this thing you are hearing now. It's no more time, church. It's no more time. It's no more time. I'm telling you. All this religion we play, all this religion, stop it. One of these days, that trumpet will sound. One of these days, the mercy will be over. One of these days, some people will disappear from this earth. And by the time we come to the last 1 week, it doesn't concern you and I. It doesn't, because we shall be gone when that last 1 week we start. Verse 27 of that Daniel chapter 9, we'll look at it some other time, not today. I just wanted you to catch something. Tells you about the covenant that will be entered with the Antichrist. It is supposed to last for 1 week. That is the last 1 week. The first 3.5 years, that is, it's supposed to last for 7 years. He said, in the middle of that covenant, he will break the covenant. And that is when the great tribulation will start. And that is when any other person that did not go in the rapture will take the mark of the beast. And that is when Antichrist will rise and claim that he is God to be worshipped. That is the truth. And the Bible speaks about the foolish virgins. That is when some people will now rise and say, I cannot worship a man. I'm a Christian. I cannot worship a man. You cannot worship a man. Those who cannot worship a man, they have gone. But he was a virgin. That is, he was not contaminating himself. He was a sincere Christian, but no revelation. And because he had no revelation, he was locked up in the denominational system. There was a shout that said, come out of her. He didn't hear it. He didn't hear it. He was busy serving his geo, mommy and daddy. He was busy going to evangelize for more church members to come to their church. He had no time. I have met them. They have told me, some of them phoned me, Pastor, we watch you on television. Pastor, we saw your tract. You why not stay on salvation? You don't condemn me, condemn me, condemn me, condemn me. Just preach Christ, preach Christ. Preach Christ. I said, and that may be a virgin, but a foolish virgin. You are not telling me what I'm saying is wrong. You are saying stop condemning. Why are you condemning women preachers? Didn't Bible forbid women pastor? The Bible forbid a woman to pastor a church. He said, don't condemn. Why condemn? Condemn, 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 condemn. You think my wife don't know how to not sabi read Bible? You think my wife don't sabi preach? My wife took a degree holder. She can read. In fact, she can talk with a tough house. Well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's true now. The Bible forbid women from wearing trousers. Your pastor said it doesn't matter. This man do condemn. It doesn't matter. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Continue. Continue. Yeah. Continue wearing your trousers. Continue. Continue. You will know one day what we are saying here, whether it is true or not. Because there is a reckoning day. There is a reckoning day where we shall prove whether I am right or I am wrong. That's the truth. Or you think I don't have money to buy trouser for my wife. That's why she don't feel wear trouser. Or you think she's too fat to wear trouser. Fat women, they wear trouser. That's their size now. Don't be telling her the swamp. Don't be telling her the swamp. Don't tell her the swamp now. There's the one for fat people. There's the one for thin people. So it's not because I cannot afford trouser. I will not fit her. It's true. It's because she has caught a revelation. That's why she's not putting those nonsense in her. She's not doing it to please me. We did not marry as Christians. So we married as unbelievers. And when I first saw this message, she said she know. She could pump her hair. She could. I said, go ahead. I said, go ahead. You must worship God by revelation. Go ahead. And even if you don't like the church where they go, go where you want to go. Doesn't matter. But if you won't go, no hinder me. No problem. Because no be church me and her meet marry. We jam for outside, no be for church. So church no go scatter my marriage. No, church no go scatter my marriage. Oh, lie, lie. Amen. But don't stop me from worshiping my God. But of course, a seed is a seed. She caught it. Hallelujah. She wasn't doing it to please me. She did it because she caught it. It's a revelation. That's why. And so, what we are preaching, brethren, we are preparing the people for the rapture, and you don't like my message, don't worry. Don't worry. Continue the way you want to live. Continue. But one thing I will not be guilty of is that I will not be guilty of not telling you the truth. Praise God. When I keep telling the people, meet people, somebody, even in a church like this, you still see women fighting over men. Here. For this church. For this church. Don't carry my boyfriend. Don't carry my boyfriend. Carry my boyfriend. I don't, I'll finish you. Carry my boyfriend. I'll finish you. And the boy is sitting there in the church. It's a big guy. Don't see women, they fight over me. Go on. Go on. Fight. Go on. Enjoy yourself. Go on. You think you are handsome, that's why they are fighting over you, Abby. Go ahead. You are sitting there in the church, under a ministry like this. You are hearing what we are saying here. Every service, hammering on this nonsense that is permitted in the church. You are hearing it, and inside of you, you are dismissing it and throwing it away. One of these days, you will take over this church because we will be gone. We will be gone. That is the truth. Let's bow down our heads. Bow down your heads. Bow down your head. I want somebody to tell the Lord, I don't want to joke with my eternal destination. No. If this is what this man is talking are true, reveal it to me. Oh. Papa, let that be your first prayer for today, this night vigil. Before we look for a job, before we send fire to our enemies, send fire to your soul first, here now. Lord, have mercy on me. If there is something that I need to know as a Christian, Lord, reveal it to me. What is this man saying? I never heard this kind of thing before. You mean say this is not true? Very soon we will go. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Eternal, eternal life. Eternal, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. Lord, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. Lord, eternal life. Oh, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. Lord, save my soul. I want to live eternal. Talk to God. Talk to God. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Lord, remember me, remember me, remember me as you prepare your people, Lord, for home going. Remember me, Lord, remember me, Lord. Open my eyes to understand your ways.
When you come to collect your people, remember me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Remember me, oh Lord, hey, when you come to collect your people, remember. those are to be, those are to be.